today is Lena Blount, and Lena is the author in the current issue of an article called Half a Quaker. And the current issue is all about being almost Quaker, and Lena's story is about being almost Quaker or half Quaker. So thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm happy to join.
So I guess one of the questions would be like, well, which half is Quaker? do you have a half that you consider Quaker?
Well, the nickname sort of came out of a press statement from a protest with the Earth Quaker Action Team when there was an odd number of women who were arrested at an action protesting the Keystone Pipeline. We said that half the women arrested were Quaker. So the sort of inside joke was that since there was an odd number of women, they were counting me as half a Quaker. So that's where the nickname sort of came from. And I think, yeah, I think it is accurate to say that sort of the half of me that is Quaker is the half that was compelled to spirit-led nonviolent direct action.
Mm-hmm. So is it like, how do you sort of divide what is and isn't Quaker? Is it sort of, you know, your head is Quaker, but your heart isn't, or you like the Quaker process, but maybe it's like the Quaker faith isn't quite there, or you agree with some parts of Quakers, but not, how does it internally divide? And it may also divide differently day by day. I mean, mm-hmm. there are certainly days I wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be a Quaker today. And other times I'm like, oh, I guess I am. So
Well, it's sort of interesting. A big piece, I think, relates to the fact that I was introduced to Quakerism through action first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I started learning about Quaker spiritual practice in action with the Earth Quaker Action Team. You know, I was a student and cared a lot about environmental issues, about social justice issues. And here was this group that had a really compelling campaign working on that, and I wanted to be a part of it. And so I came in that way. And so Quaker spiritual practice, when I was first introduced to it, was really connected with action. And that felt so powerful and meaningful to me in a way that was really sort of enriching and invigorating. And I really found a lot of strength and grounding in that, you know, more courage in myself than I thought I had, to lean into challenges, lean into new roles, because I had this community that was taking action from a really grounded place and cared about the spiritual element of what we were doing. And so I joke about being half a Quaker because sort of since being introduced to the Earth Quaker Action Team, I've been like, oh, wow, you know, there's all this stuff about this Quaker group is so great. And so then I reached out to some monthly meetings and went to, you know, a monthly meeting here and there. And part of it, I think, is just being a little bit intimidated, by a group of people who were all there, not necessarily because they came to an action and were introduced to Quakerism, but, you know, went to school or, had other reasons they were there. And I don't know. I just felt like one of the first monthly meetings I went to that wasn't related to Equate, like I sort of left the meeting feeling like really impatient. I don't know. I just sort of feeling like I came out of the meeting house just like, oh, I just have to do something. Like I don't like that. It just didn't. Maybe there's like more to think into that. But I've found a lot of spiritual community with the Earth Quaker Action Team. And so I sort of keep showing up there and getting further involved there, and that feels really true and meaningful to me. And now I work actually at Pendle Hill, which is a Quaker study and retreat center, and you know, go to silent worship almost every morning and really love that and find that grounding. But I guess there's some things around what I might describe as Quaker culture that don't seem as meaningful to me or as spiritually powerful, and I haven't yet figured out if that's just I was at, you know, at a meeting for like an off week or something, you know, like I'm not sure if it's a thing that is actually consistently true, or just based on some of my limited experiences in Quaker spaces that weren't Pendle Hill or the Earth Quaker Action Team. So my experiences in those spaces has been really powerful.
Well, sure, and every meeting has its own sort of character as well. So you'll have more activist meetings or more spiritual meetings, but also just meetings that are more open to newcomers and meetings that are more sort of focused on themselves. There's all sorts of flavors, and each meeting has its own character.
And I think one of the big things to me was my introduction to worship was in action. And so to me, that's what Quaker worship was. It was like, oh, this is a faith where worship is putting your beliefs into action. And then I got this mindset of like what that looked like, and then realized other folks had different visions of what that looked like, and that was fine. But I would keep showing up in worship with Equate versus meeting on Sunday.
Right. So how has it changed? Now you're there working at Pendle Hill, which is its own sort of unique Quaker zone and kind of an intensity. It's an intensity sort of like Equate would be, where you're just like, you have worship every morning and you have this whole community that's there with a whole kind of range that has its own kind of unique flavor and involvement.
Yeah, I found it really, really lovely to join the team here at Pendle Hill. I think I spoke about this a little bit in the piece, but one of the things that I think is most moving about Quaker practice is sort of this, the grounding that's offered when one looks around at the world. You know, like there's a lot of really, really heavy, unjust stuff we're going to have in our lifetime, you know, in our world, in my lifetime, that I, you know, feel responsible to respond to. And that can be really daunting and scary. And it's hard to feel like one can do that, take on these injustices, unless you have a grounding in something greater than yourself, unless you have a practice that helps bring you together with others to be open to leading, be open to the light within yourself and within the group and the community, to realize justice. And I really, really think Pendle Hill has a lot to offer in that way. The folks that, I don't know, the folks I've worked with here, I've just been continually moved by. In that way, I guess. And at least for myself, I don't know that I would. So a short story. I did used to work in activist spaces that weren't Quaker. Right out of college, I worked for a job for 2 years for a secular nonprofit working on environmental issues. I got incredibly burned out. Cared a lot about what I was working on, was fighting the fracking industry here in Pennsylvania. And there's this sense of just like, you have to do more and more and more and more and more. And at a certain level, there's not, like, if you only think it's on you to offer to this cause, you're going to be scraping bottom. You're going to be really getting worn out, and I was. I actually collapsed from exhaustion at that job. And you know, Quakers talk about way opening or things like that. And I sort of joked with a friend that was like a way closing moment. I'm just like, just a very clear message from the universe of just like, stop, don't do it this way. This isn't working. So, I don't know, all of this to say, it was the folks within Equate who offered a lot of spiritual and emotional support while I was discerning what to do in that job and after that job. And I took the Radical Faithfulness course at Pendle Hill, in the fall of 2015. And that helped me sort of, again, explore this spirit of how I do this work and how the spiritual element of activism, I think, is crucially important to our resilience in the face of a lot of these realities.
Sure. Well, I also had come in years ago, but through the activist pipeline, mm-hmm. As an activist. And then I was in the Philadelphia area and I kept running into all these Quakers, you know,
right.
and sort of noticed that there was sort of a groundedness and, you know, perspective that I didn't see elsewhere. And in a way, I guess Quakers have this long-term approach to it. And, you know, there are people who they've been activists for like 50 years and they haven't gotten burnt out and, you know, they might go mm-hmm. in and out of activity, but there's something about keeping a culture that allows space for activists, but sort of realize that it's not going to be just one person in just one year that's going to do it,
mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. that a community that's going to hold together. And, you know, there was one point where I got sort of depressed where it's like, oh, I'm sitting in the same meeting room in Friends Center with the same group of people that I was 5 years ago. But in a way, that's kind of powerful that we're part of this community that's just continuing to do it and almost an expectation. Yeah, we'll be all together, keep doing this, you know, decades from now.
It's interesting. You're reminding me one thing that's happened since my article came out in the magazine is I've had sort of young non-Quaker friends reach out and then a number of folks from the Quaker community reach out. I've had a series of really amusing conversations where I have been called to sort of defend the identification of the Quaker part and then
sure.
defend the identification of the like not Quaker part as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some very different reactions. But one thing that I think is really compelling is that a lot of young activists that I know are grappling with this question of like, things are going to get really, really bad. Things mm-hmm. are really, really bad. And how are we going to do this for the long term? How are we going to be resilient in the face of the reality? And so I actually have had some really lovely conversations with young folks who are reaching out to faith communities of various types, just trying to grapple with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do think there's something about a moral imperative that, and this is sort of where I get to that, like my impatient energy that sometimes feels in conflict with Quaker culture.
Okay.
Is I think it's really beautiful to try something and learn from trying and learn from doing it and to put your actions in alignment with your beliefs and be open to the fact that like you might mess up and you'll work with your team of people and you'll do it better next time. And I just get really impatient. And this, some of this is perception. Some of this, I think, probably is reality. In some Quaker spaces where there's this fear of doing something wrong and really wanting to like pick the right path before an action is taken. And the thing I've just so loved with Equate is that there's this faith and support in value-driven action of just like, this is the value we hold to be true, and we're going to try to have our actions speak and show that, and okay, we kind of misstepped here, or maybe the messaging wasn't perfect, so now we're going to try mm-hmm. something else. And that, I have a sneaking suspicion meeting for business would drive me crazy because I can get so impatient, but
yeah.
But one of the reasons I've not been in a meeting for business.
Yeah, and there's something I know we have had an article recently, I think from someone from a tech background talking about, you know, the technology is all about breaking things quickly. I think Facebook is famous for that. You know, like the whole ethos growing up was, or as it started to develop, was to break things quickly, just try everything and see what works. And if something doesn't work, then, you know, you roll it back. And there's kind of a quickness to that that, yes, maybe friends could learn a little something from. So,
And it's funny because I've learned that lesson from many friends. Mm-hmm. You know, like so many of the people who've inspired me in action are Quaker. It's just I've gone into other Quaker spaces and not necessarily found that same energy. And so I gravitate then towards folks with that energy who are often Quaker. And yeah, there's just an interesting thing in that I think is, you know, obviously everyone's faith can look differently, but I think it's really powerful that Quakers have this long history of taking action and being sort of at the vanguard of a number of justice fights. And sometimes I just think it means acting on a value and on the clarity that this value needs to be acted on. And then having faith that that's the right step and that you'll learn then from there, and that way may continue to open. And you don't have to be certain before you begin.
Sure. And, you know, if you look at the sort of history, you know, you read like Quakers who were doing some of the most amazing things. They weren't always doing that well in business meeting either.
Right.
You know, some of them were getting, you know, kicked out of their meetings and having to find other meetings. And one of the things that I wanted to do this whole issue on the almost Quakers, that I have this sense where, like, I know friends who were part of Quakers even, then burnt out, and they kind of disappeared, and maybe in another generation they would have disappeared. But now we're all connected in ways that we weren't. You know, there's Facebook, so these people who have burnt out are still piping in on Facebook, and you can still be sort of not involved with Quakers, but still involved with Quakers in a way that I don't think we had before. I've been kind of wondering whether there is going to be this kind of almost Quaker that's continuing. This half a Quaker identities are going to become even easier to maintain. Do you see yourself going down to zero or going up to 100 at any time, or are you sort of happy in this current 50-50?
Well, the Earthquaker Action Team is my primary spiritual community. I don't claim any other tradition. The spiritual work I do in my life is with Quakers. So that one thing is true. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just an interesting thing to me because it seems like the vehicle up to this point for being a full Quaker is to, you know, go through a process of clarity for membership with a meeting. And I can't even begin to imagine what meeting would feel like home to me. You know, like, I really, really love all these Quakers I work with. And I feel like now I'm working with a lot of them. Like, that's the other thing that's sort of funny. You know, being at Pendle Hill and with Equate, you know, I hang out in young adult friend spaces where there are folks who are like fully Quaker, and they're like, you do more Quaker things than we do. Like, what if, you know, you go to worship like more, you know,
every day
or whatever. And so it just, at some level, just feels sort of arbitrary and like, well, this is meaningful and I'm going to keep showing up and doing this. And whether or not I like am ever a member, I don't really care. Like, that's probably the thing that, like, that's just not, the title doesn't mean as much to me as the action and the practice and the people. And as long as I can have the action and the practice and the people in my life, like, I'm going to be doing that. Like, I really, that's really important to me. Yeah. Whether that means I'm 99% or 9, you know, like, wherever I fall. My boss here at Pendle Hill is always, like, joking, like, oh, are we up to 5-6? Like, what's happening, you know? So, like, I'm going to Philadelphia yearly meeting annual sessions, and it's like,
there you go. That's a 10% right there.
Right, that's some more percentage in the Quaker column, yeah.
Oops, I'm not going this year. I've just dropped down.
Oh, right, yeah. But so that just seems a little silly to me. And then, what matters to me is making the world a more just place. I think Quakers have a really big capacity to do that. I want to help empower people to like realize their capacity to do that. Mm-hmm. Am I going to, like, I would rather take the folks who are ready to do that and go do that than like sit and wait for everyone to discern they're ready.
Right.
So.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Great
now, when I had this experience, I was at an event, and there were some Quakers, and dear Quakers, I know older Quakers, and they said, someone said something, and it was kind of borderline like, oh, I can't believe they said that. But as I said that, I realized, like, oh, this is also sort of my tribe. Like, I know these people, and so it was kind of a mixed message. So I sort of understand that you want to move forward with the people who are ready to do stuff, but there's also these people and
right.
just leave them. And how do we balance that? And there's no answer.
Right. This, and the good news, like again, this is a lesson both from Quakers and from social movements, I think, is that we all have different roles to play.
Yeah.
So I would love for more folks to move toward the action-taking role mm-hmm. or the close-to-action-taking role and running with that. But the folks who are doing the deep community work to get folks further or closer to that or spiritually grounded in those realities is important too. I just am probably not the person that would be patient enough to do that. That's maybe not the role that speaks to me.
Okay. Well, there are many parts to the spiritual body.
Right. Exactly.
Have your role. Okay, well, that's probably about as much time as we have. Again, this is the issue Almost Quaker here, and Lena's article is in there. And it's all about Equate. There's everyone in their happy Equate t-shirts.
Yeah.
And thank you for writing this, and look forward to seeing percentages shift and or not. Sometimes our people have been with friends an Almost Quaker for decades and do fine work. So wherever you are, that's where you should be. Thank you, Lena.
Thank you. I'm glad that it's been a rich article for folks, and I'm really just humbled that my story, had this opportunity to be shared.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye-bye then.
Bye.